From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As Dr. Cairns continues this series of studies in the Book of Acts, he commences a message entitled, A Contest for a Soul. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6. Let us not sleep as do others. There are many ways of promoting Christian wakefulness. Among the rest, let me strongly advise Christians to converse together concerning the ways of the Lord. Christian and hopeful, as they journeyed towards the celestial city, said to themselves, To prevent drowsiness in this place, let us fall into good discourse. Christian inquired, Brother, where shall we begin? And hopeful answered, Where God began with us. Then Christian sang this song, When saints do sleepy grow, let them come hither, and hear how these two pilgrims talk together. Yea, let them learn of them in any wise, thus to keep ope their drowsy, slumbering eyes. Saints' fellowship, if it be managed well, keeps them awake, and that in spite of hell. Christians who isolate themselves and walk alone are very liable to grow drowsy. Hold Christian company, and you will be kept wakeful by it, and refreshed and encouraged to make quicker progress in the road to heaven. But as you thus take sweet counsel with others in the ways of God, take care that the theme of your converse is the Lord Jesus. Let the eye of faith be constantly looking unto Him. Let your heart be full of Him. Let your lips speak of His worth. Friend, live near to the cross, and thou wilt not sleep. Labor to impress thyself with a deep sense of the value of the place to which thou art going. If thou rememberest that thou art going to heaven, thou wilt not sleep on the road. If thou thinkest that hell is behind thee, and the devil pursuing thee, thou wilt not loiter. Would the manslayer sleep with the avenger of blood behind him, and the city of refuge before him? Christian, wilt thou sleep whilst the pearly gates are open, the songs of angels waiting for thee to join them, a crown of gold ready for thy brow? Ah, no. In holy fellowship continue to watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation.
Servants now seek a fresh glimpse of your face.
Your loving eyes restore our vision. Your mighty acts deserve our praise.
Burning fires that were once desires return again through your grace. Keep the race before us.
Keep our hearts turned toward the prize.
With patience and endurance, the cross standing firm in our eyes. Keep the race before us,
and reward us, Lord, by your grace.
With crowns of righteousness from the righteous judge, when we finish the race. For courage to face our struggles each day. Fears of the past shall not last if we faithful stay.
Let your passion consume us as to the truth we hold.
With our calling so sure, victory secure, steadfast we press to the goal. Keep the race before us.
Keep our hearts turned toward the prize.
With patience and endurance, the cross standing firm in our eyes. Keep the race before us.
And reward us, Lord, by your grace.
With crowns of righteousness from the righteous judge. When we finish the race.
Regular Bible reading is an essential part of the Christian life. In the Holy Scriptures, God has given us everything we need to know for salvation, for spiritual growth, and for the many issues and problems that believers face. However, many Christians do not profit from the Bible as they should because they have no guidance as to how to study it. Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Acts chapter 13 records the beginning of the New Testament church's missionary outreach, carrying the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. Persecution had driven the new believers out of Jerusalem, but they went out as zealous witnesses to the risen Christ. From the church at Antioch, the Holy Spirit called Paul and Barnabas to carry the good news of salvation to the heathen cities of Asia Minor. These two mighty preachers saw many people converted and churches established in places that had been centers of moral degeneracy. They learned very quickly that the devil opposed their efforts, and on the Isle of Paphos they encountered a sorcerer who tried to prevent them from witnessing to the island's deputy, Sergius Paulus. Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce this message called A Contest for a Soul.
We're reading this morning in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, reading from verse 4 to the end of verse 12. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar Jesus, which was with the deputy of that country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. The Lord will add his own blessing to this passage from his own precious word for his name's sake. We're making some progress in our studies through the Acts of the Apostles. It's slow, but I hope it's not too laborious. We're getting there, although when we finally breast the finishing tape, the Lord only knows. At the moment, as you can see, we have reached the 13th chapter, last Lord's Day morning. We were considering the church in Antioch. I trust that you have given much thought to what the Word of God had to say regarding that model church. Unless ours is a church like the church in Antioch, then I feel it has no excuse for existence. I think that the world has more than enough churches merely to add another. I think that more than ever, we need churches on the New Testament pattern. Churches indeed like the church in Antioch. Now, as we move into this last main section of the book of Acts, you remember the format and structure of the book is set forward for us in chapter 1, verse 8. We have covered the first two sections. As we move into this last main section, we're brought to consider in some detail the missionary labors of the Apostle Paul. He made three great missionary journeys, and those journeys form the basis of the structure of this latter part of the book. His first missionary journey is detailed from chapter 13 through to chapter 15, verse 35. That's taking in the first journey and its results. The second missionary journey commences with chapter 15, verse 36, and goes through to 18, verse 22. The third missionary journey is detailed from chapter 18, 23, to chapter 21, verse 19. And then the latter, or the last part of the book, is taken up with Paul. the prisoner of the Lord. Now we're commencing today to look at the first missionary journey. When we think of this first journey and its results, there will be two great areas for us to study. First of all, we will see the work established amidst fierce persecution. We'll be commencing with that today. But after that, we will look in chapter 15, and we will then see the work endangered by false prophets. Those two things will always go together. Where you have the establishment of the work, you will always have following on the attack upon the work as the devil seeks to endanger the whole testimony of Christ. Now today we start, as I say, the work being established amidst the persecutions which the devil launches against it. And this portion, of course, is not only good for our study today, but I think you'll find that it is introductory to all that follows. It naturally leads into everything else. Let's therefore quickly look through the portion before we come to the story of Paul dealing with Elymas the sorcerer, which is really what I want to get to today. But let's first of all go through in a very quick manner these opening verses. Verse 4 gives us the mandate of the apostles Barnabas and Paul as they went forth. I want you to notice this clearly. They being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Their mandate is from God. They are men with a divine commission. They are not preaching for a living. They are living to preach. They are not merely called by churches. They are called by God. They are not merely preachers of the word. They are preachers filled with the Holy Ghost. They are preachers who are living in the word and preachers in whom the word of God is living. I think you'll see, therefore, right at the very commencement of this record of their labors, that you have the secret of their success. One of the greatest crimes which a preacher can commit is to run without having been sent, to preach without having been called, to take it upon himself to minister without having a divine commission. My friend, the tragedy in churches today is that men preach as if they had nothing worth saying because they don't have anything worth saying, and they have nothing worth saying because they have never been sent of God. But get a man who has been as these men were in the secret place with God. Get a man whose soul has been set aflame with the love of Christ and with the vision of the lost. Get a man who has been given a divine mandate to go. And I tell you, that man's ministry will never deteriorate into trivialities. That man will say with the prophet, "Who can but prophesy? God has spoken. I can do nothing else but preach what God has given." You know, I say this is the secret of their success, because if God calls, God guarantees the results. Now, I want to make that very, very clear. I want also to make it clear what I mean by that. I mean that God guarantees to do what He has purposed. God does not guarantee to make me a C.H. Spurgeon. I wish He would, but He hasn't done that yet. He may take a wee while longer. Indeed, it may take me to wait till I get to heaven before I know as much as Spurgeon ever knew, or could speak as Spurgeon spoke. He doesn't guarantee to make me a Spurgeon. He doesn't guarantee to make me a Whitfield. But He does guarantee that He'll give His power to accomplish His program and fulfill His purpose for His glory. That's what He guarantees. You will see that in order to fulfill that guarantee, He gives to those whom He has called and to whom He has given a mandate all the equipment that is necessary. There is a very clear illustration of this back in the Old Testament scriptures in the book of Genesis chapter 24 and verse 10. We read of Abraham sending forth his servant Eliezer, and he was sending him forth on a very special ministry. He was sending him to find the bride of his son. Now, it doesn't take a preacher to work out for you the typology of that. You can see very clearly here is a picture of God the Father commissioning his servants to go out to find the bride of Christ, to win souls for Christ, to bring in the lost into Christ. Now, I want you to notice clearly what we read in chapter 24, verse 10 of the book of Genesis. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. Underline that. When Abraham sent a servant to find a bride for his son, he put everything of his riches at his disposal. When God sends his servants to find the bride of Christ and to bring sinners into Christ, he places at their disposal all the divine equipment, all the riches of divine power, all the fullness of the divine spirit that are necessary for the people of God to do their work. My friend, when God commissions, when God calls, God also equips. Now that brings us back to a theme that we were on Wednesday night at the prayer meeting. And it gives every Christian the divine right, if he's in the will of God, if he's doing God's will, to go back to the Lord and say, Lord, you've called me to this job, you've put me in this position, you've commissioned me for this task, I need the power of the Holy Ghost, you've promised me that power, and I'm here on my knees before God, and I'm staying here until I get a divine anointing of the power of God for the work to which thou hast set my hand. Thank God, their mandate guaranteed their success. You'll notice their message is in verse 5. When they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. Just notice in passing the S on the end of synagogues, it does show you the very minute exactness of this history which Luke is inspired to give us in the book of Acts. You will find many, many evidences if you take the time to look for them. It's usually outside the ambit of my sermon, so I can't go into it. But you'll find many, many evidences that this is the history, usually of an eyewitness. And certainly the history given straight, as it were, from the horse's mouth, straight from the event itself. Salamis was a center where there were many, many Jews, because Cyprus was a great trade center in the ancient world and in the modern world. Wherever you get great trade, you'll find a lot of Jews. And certainly there were plenty of Jews there, and needing many synagogues. And he went round all the synagogues of the Jews. What did they do? They preached the word of God. When Paul said in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, he was not paying lip service to this theory. He was actually giving expression to that which motivated his whole life. When he wrote later to the Hebrews, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, he wasn't merely enunciating a philosophy. He was saying, this is what I believe, this is what I have proved, this is what I preach, this is how I progress in my ministry. Now we all say, oh, the gospel is the power of God. But when last did you witness to it? Oh, we all say the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, but it's so neglected both in our study and in our preaching and in our witnessing. Preaching nowadays has degenerated into a bunch of stories strung together.
and has degenerated into the experiences and the subjective notions of the preacher, went up and down this vast country, in every city, town, village, and hamlet, there is a preaching of the Word of God in all its pristine purity. There will be a return to the power of former days, and there will be a return to the fruit of former days. They preached the Word. My prayer in coming to this country is that God would raise up a race of preachers who study the Word, who love the Word, who live the Word, who have the Word engraven upon their hearts, who, like Eleazar of old, the servant of David, cleaved to the Word so much that the Word cleaved to him. Oh, I would pray that God would give us a race of preachers of the Word of God. And I tell you, give us men like that. They may not be the most charismatic of characters. They may not be the most brilliant of orators. They may not be the most intellectual of scholars. But give us men who will preach the Word. And I tell you, God is bound by the covenant that He has made to bless the Word of God. My friend, let's take this seriously. The message is the Word of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.